Hello, and welcome to the Victorious Living Christian Counseling Podcast, where victorious living is not only a dream, but a real possibility through Jesus Christ. My name is Crystal Ridlin, and I am a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Indiana, and I am a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas. This podcast's purpose is so that you can find hope in your everyday life, that you can find victory in your life, in your relationships, in your job, and in everything that you do when we find the answers through God's Word, through the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus Christ. Who God says I am? Who does God say you are? That is the question for the day, and that is the topic for today. We're going to talk about who am I? And this is a topic that I actually go over a lot with many clients, because it's common for people when they come in to see me that they're struggling with their self-worth. They don't really know who they are. And so we go through this process as part of the Christian counseling process of helping them to come to some kind of understanding of who they are. And this is an important topic because we combat negative thoughts by knowing who we are. And so if somebody has a negative thought or a core belief in their life that I'm a failure, I'm unworthy, I don't measure up, I'm not good enough, then they're going to constantly find themselves in a position of feeling a lack of joy and a lack of purpose and a lack of meaning and a lack of belonging. So today we're going to tackle this question and we're going to find out who we are. And I'm going to share a little bit about my personal story and how God's taught me this over the years. See, I came from a very dysfunctional upbringing where I was told constantly what I wasn't, who I wasn't. I was called names, I was belittled, I was abused, I was ridiculed. And so as I grew into a woman, I had a horrible foundation for who I was. There was a few people in my life, my grandma and one of my uncles, who would pour into me and remind me of my worth. And then when I became a junior high student, I had a music teacher who poured some positivity into my life. But other than that, I was fed a lot of negative feedback about my self-worth. And sadly, I have seen so many people have the same story, maybe not the same level of abuse, although that's very common. I see that a lot. But I see a lot of people who are coming to me and they grew up with poor messages from their family members, from peers, from teachers, about who they are. And sometimes it wasn't even that the family members were trying to be mean. It was just that maybe they didn't know the proper way of saying things, or that the individual walked away with an understanding and a meaning that was different than what was being portrayed. So we're going to nail this down today, and we're going to talk about who am I? Who God says I am? That's the most important thing, right? So, I don't know, a few months ago, I was just feeling kind of down all week. Like, I wasn't, you know, miserable or not able to function or isolating or depressed, but there was just this little bit of an edge of, you know, just feeling like I didn't belong. I think that weekend my husband was out of town, so I didn't have him here, and I hadn't really hung out with any friends for a while, and I'm sure that helped add to the issue that I was having. But I was just sort of feeling like kind of lonely and like I didn't belong. And I'm still new to Texas, where we live now, and so I have some friends. But I wouldn't say I have like my close girlfriends that I can call any minute and we can go see a movie, or, you know, I don't have those people here. I have some friends from my hometown where I lived for 20 years, but that's getting harder to stay in contact with them. And so I'm just sort of feeling a lack of belonging. And you may be shocked to hear me saying this, because I know that when I find out that somebody who seems to, in quotes, have it all together, and then they share something vulnerable, I can be taken off guard and think, oh boy, this is, like, goes against the message that I've been telling myself, that they have it all together, so they have all these friends, and, you know, they definitely never feel lonely. But that's not true. In fact, I'm going to argue that every single person feels what I'm feeling to some degree. The only difference is very few people talk about it. And that's why church can be a very lonely place. That's why our workplaces can be very lonely places. That's why our families can sometimes feel lonely, because we don't actually talk about universal feelings, one of which is a lack of belonging and feeling lonely sometimes. This is a universal issue, and we all feel it to some degree. So I don't mind being vulnerable and sharing that, because I know that I'm not alone, because I have, you know, at least hundreds of clients, thousands of clients at this point, who have shared with me that they feel the very same things. We do different things with it. We process it differently. But ultimately, we all feel those feelings at some point in our life. So, about, I don't know, a couple of months ago, I was on the praise team for church. And this was a week that I was just feeling sort of down and lonely, like I said. And so the whole weekend, I was sort of like kind of feeling this on the edge, but I wasn't, you know, too concerned, because it wasn't too overwhelming, but I was feeling it. And so Sunday comes along, and I am singing on the praise team, and we are singing Who God Says I Am, which is one of my favorite songs in the entire world. And but it's also one of those songs that we've heard so many times that we just, you know, I can tend to pass over the words and not really pay attention to what the words are actually saying. And so as I was on the stage and I was singing these words, all of a sudden I actually paid attention to them while I was worshiping on stage, and I almost got a tear in my eye in front of the congregation, because that's how much I was touched by what God showed me through the song. So first I'm going to go over the lyrics. So who you say I am? Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And then, it kind of sings those choruses a few times. But at the end, this is where God really showed me a profound truth that I hadn't been thinking about all weekend in the midst of my overthinking and feeling sort of down and a lack of belonging and lonely. And it's this: in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And as I sang that, one of my favorite verses in the Bible talks about how God is going before us to prepare a place for us. And it just struck me that I'm sitting here feeling alone and lonely and a lack of belonging. But when I get to heaven, I'm never going to have to feel that again. I'm never going to have to feel like I don't belong, because God sent his son to die for me, and Jesus has gone before me, and he's going there, and he will have a place. He is preparing a place for us so that when we come, they're going to be completely ready for us. We're not going to have to walk in. I don't know if you've ever gone to a new church or a new Bible study and you have to walk in and you know you're the new person and you're just thinking, am I going to find friends? You're never going to have that feeling in heaven. Never. You're never going to have to worry, does this person really like me or do I fit in? Am I weird? Which, by the way, is one of the common core thoughts that many, many of my clients have had, is this thought of, I'm weird, or am I normal? Just that's an off point there. But it was this profound truth that God just poured over my heart. And all of a sudden, all of my doubt, all of my loneliness, all of the belonging feelings, the lack of belonging feelings that I had had over the weekend, it just washed away. Because I was reminded that I am never going to feel completely at home on this earth. No matter what church I'm in, no matter what family I'm in, no matter what friends I have, I will never feel like this is my home, because it's not. This is not my home. Heaven is my home, and Jesus has gone before to prepare a place. And I want you to really hear that. Jesus has gone before to prepare a place for you because of his love for you. And one of these days you're going to walk into that place and you are never going to have to feel that sense of, I don't belong here. I am not accepted here. One of the saddest things I've heard my my daughter say to me over the years is when she's gone to a church where the girls are not very nice to, they're not very welcoming. And sometimes she'll go there and she'll sit there all day and nobody will talk to her. And I've asked her how this makes her feel, and she says, I feel invisible. Friends, that's the worst feeling, isn't it? Like, you don't even feel unwanted. You feel invisible. Like, you don't even exist. And that's sad. We need to be doing better in church, by the way. Another off point. We need to make sure that when people walk in the doors, God's doors, in his house, that they feel welcomed and they feel belong. Because, yes, when we get to heaven, we'll never have to feel that. But, man, it's really nice when we find an environment or a friend or a church or a Bible study or a work environment or a family where we can actually feel loved and accepted for who we are. So, this is what God showed me, is that he has a place for me in heaven that he has already prepared, and it's just waiting for me. And when I walk into that place, I'm never going to have to feel alone again. So, I want you to think about that just a little bit. I want you to be thinking about that this week. Like, what is it that you're feeling? And actually name those feelings. It's okay. Sometimes we push down our feelings and suppress them because we feel like what we're feeling is wrong, that there's something like inherently wrong with our feeling lonely and a lack of belonging. Like, that makes us a bad Christian. No, pretty sure it makes us human. That's what it does. It makes us absolutely human. And God instilled in us a place that will never feel at home until we are at home. And that's the truth. We will feel whole in Christ. We can feel whole in Christ on this earth, but there's always going to be a part of us that will forever feel that lack of belonging, because we will not belong till we get to heaven. And so I'm thinking of a few verses that I would like to share with you. One is Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I had to reread that verse about 3 or 4 times because it's saying a lot. It's saying that God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Like, that is powerful. That God decided. It wasn't like Jesus just died on the cross because that was his job and, you know, he just did it because he loved us. But God decided in advance to send his son to die on a cross so that we can be a part of his family because he loved us that much. That, to me, is a profound point. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him pleasure. That touched my heart so much because I don't know about you, but I really like to know that people are finding joy in my presence, that I am bringing pleasure to people. I try so often to remind my children of what a joy they are in my life and how much pleasure they bring to me because they are a gift from God. And I do this horribly because I'm busy and I'm distracted and they're making messes or, you know, it's hard to be intentional, but I really try when I am like in that moment, I really try because I know it's so important that people around us feel that they are a pleasure to us. And so I think that's profound that God made a point to say that it brings him pleasure to bring us into his family. Another verse is Isaiah 43:1. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. You are mine. Friends, we belong to God. We are his children, and that gives us absolute worth in him. It's profound. And John 3:16. We all know this verse. We learned it in elementary school. But do we really stop and really pay attention to the words? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Wow, that is a profound verse. And God just sharing his love with us in this verse and how much he wants us to believe in him and how much he wants us to be with him and not to perish, but he wants us to have everlasting life. So, few verses that I thought would be good to share with you. And so, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit over here to, we're going to talk about God's word because we just read some amazing verses. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little more encouraged than I was before I read those verses out loud. But God's word is truth and it's powerful and it does amazing things in our spirit when we read it. And so what is so like powerful? What is this miraculous thing about God's word? And so I don't know all the answers to that exactly, but I do know that there's something miraculous about God's word. And I've processed this in my own life. And so I'm going to share with you just a little bit about some conclusions I've come up with that I feel like God has revealed to me. So first, God's word is truth. It is encouraging. It's convicting. It's loving, it's wisdom, it's filled with knowledge, it speaks to all situations on some level, which I think is amazing and fascinating, and most importantly, it reminds us of God's unconditional love for us. I find that just this one book that I have answers all the questions to my life. Maybe not directly, but we have to pray and ask God to show us where. But when we read it, he answers the questions through it. So something miraculous happens when we read God's word. And what I've come about, I used to think like I had to put so much effort and pressure and discipline, and those things are important, but it used to be the focus. And I felt like it was this, like, I had to do something just to, like, you know, obey God and move into this direction. But what I realized, it's actually nothing about me. It's not something amazing that I'm doing. I'm just reading God's word. But what happens when I read God's word is that God does something miraculous in me. And I think that's very interesting. I remember one time I was at work and I only had like 15 minutes between my next session. And I was just feeling like down that day. Like, I don't remember the details. I just remember I was feeling just like pretty crummy. I was questioning a lot of things. And I just felt like God kept saying, Crystal, just open your word. Just come spend time with me. And I remember I had this like very small time. And I remember having this like little wrestling match with God and saying, I don't really have time. Like, I only have like 15 minutes or 10 minutes. And I just felt like God said, just sit down. Just spend a few minutes with me. And so I reluctantly, and embarrassingly, I'm admitting this, I reluctantly obeyed him. And I sat down and I opened my scriptures and I just started to read. And something shifted in me. And that 10 minutes that I was reading God's word and spending with him. And he reminded me through his word of some amazing things. And he answered some questions that I was having, like all in this 10-minute period. And I remember walking away that evening, like kind of scratching my head thinking about what just happened. Because I didn't do anything. I literally only spent 10 minutes with God. But what I did was I obeyed him. I obeyed God in that moment, and he rewarded it. You see? That was when God began to really show me some things about, it's not something that I have, like, I don't have anything great in me. I just only have what I am seeking from God. And in order to seek that from God, we have to do something. He wants to give us unlimited power, unlimited love, unlimited peace. But we have limited peace and love and power because we limit how much time and affection and purpose we spend on seeking God. So remember that. It's not about us. It's about something that God wants to do in us. But we just have to obey him and seek him. Because he has these miraculous things that he's going to do in our life. But, I mean, there's been some times where God's done some miraculous thing in my life and it came out of the blue and I didn't have to do anything. It just kind of landed in my lap. But typically, that's not what happens. Typically, he's waiting for me to obey him and to seek him and to search for him. And that's when I find that he rewards that and blesses me exponentially. So he rewards obedience, and he wants us to seek him. So I was thinking about some verses that have to do with us seeking God, because that is a very important thing that we need to remember, is that we need to seek God fully, because that's where we're going to find the answers to our life's questions. So Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Great verse. 2 Chronicles 15:2. The Lord is with you. While you are with him, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. That's some powerful word analogies there of what he expects from us in our searching. One of the questions I will ask clients sometimes when they feel like they're not coming to a point of healing that they want to be in, or I'm not seeing them come to that place. And one of the questions I will ask them is, on a scale of 0 to 10, how diligently are you really seeking God in this trial? And most of the time, I get answers that are 5 and below. And I'm really grateful. Most of my clients, I don't think I've ever had any that's been like just a big liar about this, but most of them are being pretty honest of when they answer this question. And they'll say, you know, maybe 2, maybe, you know, 4. And the point is that we want God to take away our depression, or we want him to take away our anxiety, or we want him to, you know, answer some prayer in our life because of some relationship difficulty or financial difficulty. And we just want him to miraculously boing and like answer all life's problems. But that's just not how it works, right? It's not that easy. So he wants us to diligently seek him and search him. And that's where we're going to find life's answers. So moving on, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And then finally, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's one of my favorite verses. I love that verse. So, what are we learning? We're learning that we need to seek God wholly and obey him. And when we do this, God's word will speak to our heart, and we will go back then to who God says I am. And knowing foundationally who we are in Christ will help us to have those answers. Just like when I am struggling with loneliness and I'm led to the verse that reminds me that he has gone before to prepare a place for me, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm not home. But when I get home, I will never be lonely again. I will never have to worry or be sad or feel like I don't belong. So, I don't know what you're thinking here. Just take a moment. I want you to think about some of these things. I want you to pay attention to what you're feeling. What, you know, just speak some feeling words. Is it conviction? Is it encouragement? Are you feeling kind of challenged? Are you like noticing that you're feeling a sense of relief because you're like, yes, this is the message that I've been waiting for. This is what I need to hear. So, I want you to listen to, this is like your homework for today. I'm going to give you homework, just like if you were in my office. But I want you to actually go to the song, Who God Says I Am by Hillsong Worship. And I want you to really listen to it. Not just, you know, turn it on and, you know, go into autopilot mode. But I want you to actually worship to God through this song. And I want you to pay attention to what it says. And just allow God to speak to you through this song. Because I think it's a great song. And it really encouraged me. So, in our final moments, I'm going to ask you a favor. I am trying really hard to be a little more committed to my podcast. And I'm trying to get out at least one podcast a week. and I'm trying to grow the podcast because I feel like this is one thing that God has put on my heart, an area where I've stepped out in obedience. And I feel like this message is a message that the world needs to hear, that God has, I needed to hear it. I've heard it from God. I've read it in His Word. I've heard it from other mentors in my life. I've heard it from counselors. And so this is another way that we can get this message out of hope. And so can you help me by sharing this podcast with anyone that you think might be able to benefit from it? Also, could you go on and subscribe and please comment about how this podcast is blessing you? So that way it's starting to get some more attention, because I really feel like this world is hopeless and we need God. And people need to know where to go to find truth. And that's one commitment that I have made in my practice from day one, is that my practice, I'm going to say it's God's practice because it's actually not my practice. It's God's practice. It's God's practice. He put it on my heart, everything about it. And I have made a firm commitment that He will continually be the center of everything that I do in my office. And these podcasts are another way that I am obeying Him, because people, we're living in a lost world. We're living in confusing times. People are desperate. They need answers. And when we have answers, we need to not close them up, you know, and bury them away. But we need to get the message of God out and His love for us. People need to know who they are, whose they are. So please like, subscribe, comment, and share. Also, I am now on Instagram, and you can follow me on Facebook. I'm trying to also grow those platforms. So, I love you. God bless. I hope you guys have an amazing week serving, seeking, and obeying God, and see how He blesses and rewards those things in your life.